Blog Talk Radio.
What did he do? Just listen to this. Here he was, the Son of God. Hallelujah. And although he was standing there being tempted by those around him, because one of the thieves looked over at him and said, look here, if you Jesus, the Son of God, why don't you get out off this cross and save yourself and save me along with you. And the other thief looked over at him and said, well, I don't really know whether you are or not. But I tell you what, in case you are, when you come in your kingdom, remember me. And then Jesus didn't have to die. If he had wanted to, he could have called 10,000 angels to come stand by his side. But he looked at him and told him this. He said, you're not taking my life. But I'm going to lay it down for you. And he wouldn't come down. He wouldn't come down. He would not.
And that song said Jesus would not come down on the cross. And we have to realize that Jesus did have the power and a choice if he would have wanted to come down. But he wanted to obey the will of his Father. Jesus had a mission given to him by his Father, a purpose, a design for the season. And Jesus was committed even unto death. And at this time, Sister Mike, Sister Pam, your mic is open, and you can lead us to God's throne of grace in prayer.
Amen. Good evening, my brothers and sisters. Today is April the 5th, the first Wednesday of April. Prayer list tonight reads as Kathy Hartman, Diane McBride and family, Roderick McGee, John McGee, Rogers Laquez, Quine Charles. There's a praise report. Kalia Edwards was released. He's home. Zabrian Williams, Angel Taylor, Zena and family, Linda Howard, Sylvester Daniels, Barbara, Sister Mary Jo Pope, Hades, Brother KJ, Mary Alice is a praise report for her as well. She's home and doing well. Minister Diane Adams, Maddie Vernado, Katina Orlando, Zena, Jace, Michael, and Ashley, Michael's son, Imogene McGee passed away, so we be praying for the family. Sandra Oliver and sons, Minister Paula Cloud, Brother Corey, and Nicholas Smiles. Father, I stretch my hands to thee, no other help that I know. If thou withdraw thyself from thee, or the where should I go? My God, my Father, my Lord, my Savior, I thank you tonight for life. Thank you, O Lord, for affording us the opportunity to come together again on this first Wednesday night for Bible study. I thank you for my sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane Adams. Lord, I pray that you continue to use her in a mighty way, bringing forth your word each and every one tonight. Lord, keep crowning her head with the wisdom and knowledge that comes from you. Father God, I come on this first Wednesday night to lift up and give thanks and lift up my sisters and brothers on our prayer list. Lord, they come seeking for prayer and comfort. Lord, as we as intercessors on their behalf humbly ask that you supply all of their needs, which you and only you can do. We know that it's in your timing and not our timing, and it's in your will and not ours that their every need be supplied. Lord, we thank you for in advance for your blessings and for your favor. We thank you for grace and we thank you for mercy. Father God, most of all, we thank you for your love, and it's in Jesus' name I pray this prayer. Amen, and thank you, God.
Amen. And we have another praise report. Paula Cloud has gone home, and she is on the line tonight.
Praise
God
the Lord.
God is a healing. God is a healing. It does make a difference. And sometimes people have asked me, Sister Diane, how long do I have to keep praying for the same person? Prayers are always in order. I've never heard it say that that's too much prayer. I've heard of little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. So we just want to thank God for the prayers that went forth. Thank God for our sister in Christ who has become a prayer warrior and an intercessor for the Wednesday night words of wisdom, plain and simple. Sister Pam, I thank you as always. And I thank you for your faithfulness And I pray that God keep using you even more. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're very welcome. God bless you.
And bless you as well. Well, I'll say the title of our lesson again. Jesus' death removed the veil of separation. We're coming from Mark the 15th to 20 through the 41st verse. Now, many of you may know about the veil. Many of you may not. I pray when I get through with the lesson on tonight that you would have an understanding of the veil and the beautiful thing that God, Jesus Christ, did for us with his death, included the removal of the veil of separation. And that's why at the end of the program, if it's something you want to get cleared up or something you didn't understand, you could ask the question, because it is my job to try to bring clarity to situations and be led by the Holy Spirit. Let him use me as a vessel that he can take what he has given me to give to you, to give you illumination and revelation, because I can only give information. So if it's something that you quite don't understand, that's why we always have the time after the end of the program. And we're going to go ahead with our background today, remembering our title, Jesus' Death Removed the Veil of Separation. We're in the book of Mark, the 15th chapter. I want to start off by letting us know that we all had a death sentence placed on us when Adam and Eve sinned. When Adam and Eve sinned, death came into the world. Before that, death wasn't in the world. It was pure innocence. Death was not a part of it. But after he sinned, death was attached to sin. So because we are the seeds and we have the nature of Adam, we all are destined to die because of our sins. But Jesus made a way. He gave us his son that took on the sins of the world. And Jesus had to die so that we may live. You see, in the garden, Satan told them that they would not die. You know, God said, don't touch, don't eat, you know, from this tree or you will surely die. Satan told them, you won't die if you disobey God. And they believed him. But they didn't die immediately, so they figured he was probably right. But what he didn't tell them, that they would die spiritually. In other words, they would have sin consequences to pay in the form of death. And so they would die, not right then. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. And let's look at it. Everybody born of a man has to die. They have to die. So yes, Adam and Eve didn't die immediately, but they died spiritually immediately because the sin separated them from God. Hallelujah. You see, you got to watch the things that Satan is speaking to you in your mind. Always remember, no matter how he dressed it up, no matter how he spruced it up, the devil is a liar. Telling you things like, oh, you'll never be nothing. Your children ain't no good. You know, you didn't raise them right, and making us walk in fear and making us regretting things we do and having us feel condemnation. The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who love the Lord. You see, God established the temple where he could dwell among his people. He added a room known as the Holies of Holies, which was the innermost and the most sacred area of the tabernacle and the temple in Jerusalem. See, in the temple, it was in three sections. There was the holies of holies. Then it was the section where the priests took care of the business of the sacrifices that would go to the priests in the holies of holies. And then they had a spot like for the congregation. No one could enter the holies of holies but the priests. And God allowed that. They could only go in once a year. The holies of holies was separated from the rest of the temple by a veil. That is what we're talking about tonight, the veil. The holies of holies was separated from the room where the priest was doing the work for the sacrifice. And no one can go through the veil but the priest. You see, sin had separated us from God. And God made this system, and he did allow the priest, but only them to enter. You got to realize back then, and even not as long as you think, you know, in the Catholic religion, people had to go to the priest to be forgiven, so they thought. And they would go to the priest, and they would tell the priest what they did, and the priest would tell them how many Hail Marys and to do, and then God would forgive them. You know, in the Old Testament, the God would allow his prophets to give the message to the people. When Moses was dealing with the children of Israel, Moses used to go to God on Mount Sinai and get a message to bring back down to the people. The people couldn't go to God for themselves. And the veil was there, which was symbolic that you couldn't enter in the presence of God because of sin. But that's what we're talking about tonight. The veil was a huge, heavy drape made of fine linen and purple and blue and scarlet yarn, and it was embroidered with gold cherubims, which are angels. God said that he would appear in the holiest of holiness because he wanted to dwell among his people. There existed a barrier between man and God because of sin. Y'all got to remember that. We were never worthy enough to go before a righteous God with a sin nature. And only after we accepted Christ in our lives that God extended his righteousness towards us so that we would be able to go to a righteous God. The significance of the holies of holies to us Christians today is found in the events surrounding the crucifixion of Christ. When Christ died, an amazing thing happened. When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up the ghost. At that moment, the curtain of the temple, the veil, was torn in two from top to bottom. Matthew 26:50-51 said, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yield up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twine from the top. Rent in twine mean two. It was ripped in two from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake and the rocks rent. The veil was not torn in half by man. The veil was maybe 60 feet wide, y'all, tall or whatever the measurements. It wasn't no little bitty curtain. And they had to have, I don't remember, and I don't want to say it, but they had to have many men to just pull it back when the time came. The veil wasn't torn by man. It was a supernatural event done by the power of God to make a special point. Because the death of Jesus on the cross, man was no longer separated from God. You know, when you think about Jesus, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, Jesus, my Redeemer, my Healer, have you ever thanked Jesus for removing because of his death, burial, and resurrection, the veil was removed, and we got access to God for ourselves. There's so many things that God, Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are to us, and because of our limited knowledge of God, we don't have a clue. But tonight I want you to know that Jesus, death, burial, and resurrection, when he gave up the ghost, the veil was torn straight from heaven by the hands of God. God said, I'm opening it up, and my people who accept my son can come to me for themselves. They won't have to go to the preacher. They don't have to go to the teacher. They don't have to go to the priest in a little box. But everybody has the chance to come to God for yourself in prayer, to talk to him, to be intimate, to communicate, to love on him as he love on you. What a mighty God we serve. God did this for us. You see, Jesus' body was torn on the cross. So the removal of the veil, which was removed because of the blood of Jesus. And you see, Jesus' body was torn on the cross, just as well the veil was torn in the temple. And now we have access through Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus bridged the gap. We have confidence to enter the most holy place, which is God's presence. You know, you could go to God for yourself. You could be in God's presence all by yourself. And it's because of the blood of Jesus. So again, I say thank you, Jesus, for not coming down from the cross and allowing your suffering and heartaches and everything that you endured for us, that we could have a chance to the tree of life and we could go and commune with God one-on-one for ourselves. Hallelujah. And I thank God for that. Jesus suffered, y'all. Jesus suffered. And his suffering was necessary. Because Jesus, in his suffering, became our high priest. Jesus walked the earth for 3 years. And in those 3 years, he was spit on. He, of course, was crucified. They ran him out of some places. But you see, as Jesus interceded at the right hand of the Father in our behalf, see, Jesus knows firsthand how evil man's heart is and what man would do and how far he would go. Jesus has become our high priest that know all of the feelings that we are going through. There's nothing that you could go through that Jesus hadn't already went through. Come on, y'all. So, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection was a part of God's master plan to save the whole world. And Jesus was faithful unto his Father's will, unto death. And that's what God asks us to do, to be faithful unto death with the things that God had for us to do. Just as Jesus had to carry the cross. That's why I say it many times, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free. There's a cross for everyone. There's a cross for you, and there's a cross for me. Many times people will say, well, look what he did to me. I say, look what they did, Jesus. Don't fall into a pity party, which is a trick of the devil to make you feel like you're the only one have this problem. Oh, I don't have nobody to help me. I don't have this and I don't have that. Trick of the devil. So the saying, you know, I'm not alone because, gee, God promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. But Jesus paid the price, y'all, with his death, burial, and resurrection. When he died, the veil was torn from the top to the bottom, which gave us access to God. When Jesus died, he took away the sin, and he rose. Just the way he resurrected, he did that to let us know one day when he come back, we will resurrect just as he did. And when he resurrected, he became the only true and living God. And because he lived, we can all face tomorrow. And I'm going into the scriptures now. Mark 15, verse 20 through 24. And it said, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him. See, when they got ready to beat him and stuff, they took a purple, like robe, and they placed it on him to mock him, to ridicule him like if he a king. But when they mocked him, they took the purple from him and put his own clothes on him and led him out to crucify him. 21. And they compelled one Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by coming out of the country, the father of Abraham and Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. See, they had them beating so bad. We all got to remember, and you can't remember if you don't know. That's why you got to read the word of God, to study, to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. When they made that movie, The Passion, Mel Gibson, some people had no clue of the suffering that Jesus Christ did, that you could have a chance to live eternally. Come on, y'all. You got to know that he suffered. The cross that he carried, the cross was very, very, very heavy. And they had beat him all night long, y'all. Jesus was beaten so bad that they say, and I'm talking about the scripture, you could not recognize his face as the face of a human. Then they beat him and beat him and beat him and whipped him and whipped him and whipped him. Then now they want him to carry a cross all the way to Golgotha, being interpreted the place of the skull, 23. And they gave him drink, wine mingled with myrrh, but he did not receive it. You see, they used to give him that. That's like a drug, a medicine to help ease your pain, but Jesus wanted to feel his suffering. How could he understand how we suffer if he hadn't went through it himself? And Jesus suffered more than most of us, and I'm not going to say all of us, because you got to remember the disciples were all killed or crucified or head chopped off for following Christ. But he didn't want to take anything to dull the pain and the suffering. 24, and when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon him, whatever man should take. They took his clothes, y'all, and they wanted to keep them, and they cast lots. Casting lots in the Bible is the best way for me to explain it to you, that they rolled the dice. They was playing the dice, and whoever won the dice game got to choose maybe first what part of God, Jesus' garments they wanted. They cast lots at the foot of his cross as he hung up there dying to save even them. They played dice at his foot. They led him through the city to the unusual place of crucifixion, to the usual place of crucifixion, and they had him bearing his own cross. Jesus didn't take the drugs for two reasons. Because this suffering was necessary for the completion of the atonement. Come on, y'all. Which saves everyone who believes. and believed, and because of this suffering was necessary to perfect his character as the high priest I talked about. You see, because the scripture says in Hebrews 4:15-16, for we have not an high priest which cannot touch with the feelings of our infirmities. See, everything you're going through, and many times I say it, don't take Jesus by surprise, because Jesus went through the same thing. The Bible says there's nothing common that can happen to man that has not already happened. And God told us there ain't nothing new under the sun. But so many people isolate themselves, and they be going through whatever they're going through, and they have a pity party. Why me? Why not you? If not you, then who? Why is this happening to me? I pay my time. It don't go like that, darling. And just because we love Christ don't mean we're not going to have any trials or tribulations. But Jesus has promised us, no matter what we go through in this evil, wicked, and dark world, in the end, y'all, we win. And the only way we're going to be winners is not because of what we can do, but it's what Jesus did for us on the cross. Verse 25, and it was the third hour when they crucified him. 26, and the description of his accusations was written over. Look what they wrote. They was mocking and they making fun of him. They wrote on the inscription, the King of the Jews. Oh, but little did they know that is his real title. Come on, y'all. The devil set it up for mockery. But God knew it was there and it was real. The King of the Jews. For our good. 27, and with him they crucified two thieves, one on the right hand and the other one on the left, and the scriptures was filled. You know, in the scriptures it tells us that he was numbered with the transgression. You know, being crucified was the sentence for criminals. So Jesus hung on the cross as a criminal. They say a thief was on one side, you know, and the other one's on the left side, two thieves, and Jesus was in the middle. And they passed by, railed on him. They passed, you know, making fun of him, wagging in their head, and said, "Ah, thou that destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days." See, Jesus had told him that he was going to destroy the temple and build it 3 days. He wasn't talking about the building they was looking at. He was talking about he would be destroyed. He was talking about his body, and then he would resurrect. But they didn't understand. You see, that's many times people take things they don't understand, and they lean to their own understanding. You see, they was assuming that's what he was talking about. And even, you know, and they used that against him to set up his crucifixion. And then he said, you say you're the King of the Jews. And them in their natural mind know he wasn't a king. He wasn't an earthly king. Come on, y'all. But he was the King of the Jews. And he's our king, so he's the king of the world. And look what they say, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise, also the chief priest. Now watch this. The priest, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the men of the religious men, I ain't going to say of God, but religious men, was the leader in trying to crucify Jesus. Well, you see, the ones that was out there boasting, and they was talk about how they knew so much, and the people just, you know, went to them, and they was getting the glory. You know, you can't steal God's glory. They didn't want Jesus because the people had begun to talk about Jesus and it was pulling they it was taking away their thunder, y'all. Felt, and they decided and they plotted ways to get rid of him. Look what one of them, look what somebody said. Yeah, he said he's going to destroy the temple and build it back in 3 days. Is that something to crucify somebody about? Or he did a miracle on a Sabbath. What is the most important of doing a miracle and helping someone than the day that it is? And there are people today that want to rag on people in that way. They always point the finger, oh, you did this. Or oh, it's Sunday. Why, you know, you're doing that. I know if y'all remember when you was young, if it was Sunday, you couldn't go to the movie theater. You know, at my house, you couldn't wash clothes. You couldn't shoot marbles because they thought that was sacrilegious and, you know, you was doing something against God. But God said he did not make the Sabbath for man. No, let me get it right. God didn't make the Sabbath for him, but he made it for man. Because then with the Sabbath, God was giving us a way to rest. And they took it out of contents and they, you know, did this and they say this and say that. And if I didn't get that quite right after the program, please press the button. But he was saying that the Sabbath wasn't, you know, necessary for him because he was God already. He didn't even need no rest, but the Sabbath was made for man. But they would take all kind of things that Jesus threw. There was all, you know, if somebody's looking for fault in you, they could find it. But it was the chief priest mocking him in among themselves with the scribes. Look what they said. They sitting in the background waiting for him to get crucified. Watch him get beat. Watch him have to carry the cross, and they all right with it. And now they still in the background. Yeah, talking about him. He saved others. I'm reading the scripture, y'all. I'm in the 31st scripture. He saved others. Himself he can't save. 32. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe. They're always looking for a miracle. Now watch how sad this is. Those same people had saw Jesus heal the sick. Those same people had saw Jesus give sight to the blind. They had saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. And yet they still saying, let him ascend down from the cross that we may believe. You know, everything that God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has done for us in this world and the many opportunities and the word of God he's given us and all of these things, there's still so many people who have not accepted him. The word of God say, at the name of Jesus, every tongue is going to bow and every tongue is going to come, every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus is Lord. But every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, but not everyone will accept, even in the end, y'all. But they want a miracle. Come on, y'all. They want a miracle so they could believe. Jesus suffering, y'all, when he was on that cross. 33, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Jesus said those words, and the interpretation of them is, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it, and behold, they thought he was saying Elijah, 36. And one man ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, let alone. Let us see where the Elijah will come to take him down. 37. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil in the temple was rent in twine from the top to the bottom. You see, that's the veil I'm talking about. And you see, it is in scripture. And right now I'm in Mark 15. And it talks about it right here in verse 38. The veil of the temple, hallelujah, was twine, meaning cut in two from the top to the bottom. You see, there was darkness all over the land. A remarkable darkness showed the agony, creation itself, and the creator's suffering. The world had agony. Darkness came for the agony. And yet man was shooting dice for his clothes. That's why I think this may be an example when they say, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Nature was crying for Jesus. Darkness was on the world. And it appeared at the time of day, it wasn't natural. And not only that, the earthquakes began to happen the time of the crucifixion. Mark makes it clear that it stayed dark for 3 hours, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. This was an extraordinary miracle in heaven. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus knew great pain and suffering, both physical, spiritual, and emotional in his life, but he never knew separation from God. He was at a point that he was going through the stages and parts of the master plan and fulfilling the scripture. And now he was at the point where he was going to be separated from his Father. He had never felt that, and now he knows it. There was a significant sense in which Jesus rightly felt forsaken by God the Father at that moment. Jesus not only endured the withdrawal of the Father's fellowship, but also the actual outpouring of the Father's wrath upon him as a substitute for sinful humanity. Horrible as it was, it fulfilled God's good and loving plan for redemption. The hostility was caused by sin, but eliminated by the cross. Hey, therefore Isaiah could say, yet it pleased the Lord to be bruised. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. God the Father allowed his Son to go through that. How many of us would allow our son to be whipped and our daughters to be beaten, and we see him nailed to the cross and hung there, and hallelujah. But it pleased the Father because the Father knew the outcome. See, that's just sometimes God lets us go through things in our lives for the outcome. You see, a sour wine vinegar is a common beverage appreciated by laborers and soldiers because it relieved thirst more effectively than water, and it was inexpensive. But Jesus said, I thirst. Jesus only said this at this time, y'all, to strengthen himself and ease his stroke so that he may cry out his final words on the cross with a loud voice, hallelujah. And he said, it is finished, and fulfilled the prophecy. He was summoning himself to bring it to completion. The veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom. The tearing of the veil signified that now man has free access to the throne of grace by the cross, that no one ever think again that God dwells in the temple made with hands. You see, in the Old Testament, God dwelt among his people. And in the New Testament and in us today, God dwells within us. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost is one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. And we, the Holy Ghost, is living inside of us, y'all. God dwelt among them. God dwells inside of us. You see, Jesus bridged the gap. Significantly, the wall of separation between God and man was removed. The veil was torn. God towed it from heaven instead of man tearing it on earth. Hallelujah. Thank God for removing the veil. And I don't know about any of you, but I am so glad that I could go to God in the morning. I could go to him in the evening. I could go to him when the sun go down. I don't have to get permission from the priests or from the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the preacher, the teacher, the evangelist. I can go to God for myself whenever I want to. And it's so amazing. Jesus' death removed the veil that gave us access to God. And we could go to God whenever we want. And yet some people who have accepted Christ and became Christians, they don't take full advantage of it. It's the best thing I could say. God fixed it where we could go to him anytime, any day, any hour, in season, out of season, good time, bad time, when I'm broken, when I'm doing well. Come on, y'all. 39 and 40. And when the centurion which stood over against him, that was like a soldier, saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God. After all of that, he might have came there as a non-believer. And they was talking about sure as a miracle, an earthquake just jumping up all of a sudden, the world staying dark for 3 hours. What more they want? But this man, the centurion, said this man was the Son of God. And the last verse said, in 40, there were also women looking on afar off, among who was Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, and the left and of Joseph and Salome. 41, who also when he was in Galilee followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him to Jerusalem. And you got to really think God was going on such serious subjects, and he included who was there. You see, when they said who was there, they didn't mention the disciples because some disciples had scattered. The only disciple was at the cross with Jesus was the disciple John. All of the other disciples after being with Jesus 3 years, all that they had seen, they scattered, but the women stayed. It's almost like God is giving honor to the women for being there. And then he also mentioned that they followed him and ministered unto him and many other women which came up with him to Jerusalem. The women were dead. They wasn't so afraid. You see, the disciples, after they saw him take Jesus and they took him because of the Jesus thing that was going around, and they know he was, they were with Jesus. They feared for their life. God is not a God of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. But they scattered, but the women stayed. It's in the scripture, y'all. The centurion saw many people crucified before. That was probably his job, you know, in the prisons today when somebody get sentenced to the electric chair and they bring them to the place of killing them. You know, they had the people that pull a lever, get a shot and all that. But the centurion probably was someone that, you know, was right there with the crucifixion. And he had so many people crucified before, yet there was something so remarkable about Jesus that he said something he could not say about anyone else. The centurion saw Jesus for who he was and is a picture of all who come to Jesus through the cross. When you meet Jesus, dear God, when we met Jesus, we realizing that he is the Son of God. You see, at the cross, people saw what Jesus, people at the cross, people who he was, no, at the cross, many people, hallelujah, I would imagine got saved. They had some people maybe was straddling the fence and now believe. There are some people that always believe and their hope was increased. Some believe the blessed assurance to realize that Jesus is going to grant them eternal life. The centurion said he was the man of the Son of God. The centurion saw who he really was, fulfilled the promise. Because Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. On hanging on the cross, he was lifted up, y'all. He had to go on the cross, y'all. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. He had to suffer so he could understand our suffering. Hallelujah. He suffered because of sin, and he took it upon himself. Thank you, God, for Jesus. And that other verse says, this he said, signifying that death he would die. That's John 12:32. Jesus often told the disciples that he had to go and die. They didn't understand it. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and Judas came to betray him, he already knew it. You got to remember, God is omniscient. He knows all things. When Peter denied him and the cock crowed three times, he already knew it. And that's why I say it's suffering was physical. And y'all got to remember, y'all could say, well, Jesus could take it because he's the Son of God. But you got to remember that Jesus was fully man and fully God. And that flesh on Jesus' body, just like our flesh, when it's cut, it bleeds. Jesus was bleeding. Jesus had wrapped himself in flesh to die for mankind. So when you say he suffered physically, yes, he did. The humanistic side of him did. When you say he suffered emotionally, how you feel when all your friends walk out on you and your friends turn you in and your friends leave you and all of that. That's emotional suffering. And then he suffered spiritually when he asked his father because of how he felt, why he had forsaken him. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for not coming down off the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for rising. Hallelujah. Resurrecting, which give all of us hope that we one day, when Jesus come back, will be resurrected. And the word of God say Jesus is going to collect all of us and bring us to the Father. Oh, happy day. Thank God for Jesus. That's the lesson for tonight. Any comments, questions, or concerns? And if you would like to, you know, ask some questions about the veil or anything you might have in your mind, you can do it at this time. Anyone? I think that's Minister Cloud. Your mic is open.
Great lesson. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I had never heard that song before, so I thoroughly enjoyed it as well. But as you were speaking, and you were talking about one of the reasons they was trying to crucify Jesus was because of him healing on the Sabbath. It just kept, a light went off in my head. They had every male child circumcised at the age of 7, which was the Sabbath. One of their customs. And also when you were talking about Jesus saying, I thirst, I never thought about it like this, but a bulb went off in my head. When he met the woman, the Samaritan at the well, he told her, if you knew who I was, you would ask me about the water that I have that you'll never thirst. And the Bible tells us that in our belly would be flowing rivers of water. So I said, yes, he could have called water from his stomach. And I never looked at it. I thought about both of those things that way until tonight when I was just sitting there listening. So I thank you again for the lesson. I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was very refreshing. And y'all have a blessed night, everybody on the line.
And that's Minister Paula Cloud, who we prayed for last week. She had just had a stroke. She's home from the hospital. She called on the line, and she just made the comment, thank God for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Minister Cloud. Caller, your number is 504-615. Your mic is open.
Hello?
Yes, baby, your mic is open.
Hey, sister, how you doing?
Hey, my brother.
All right, how you been?
I've been doing fine, thank you for asking, and it's a pleasure to hear your voice on tonight.
All right, thank you, thank you. I wanted to comment a couple of things you said. First, I wanted to comment on, like you was talking about the Sabbath, and it says that man wasn't made for the Sabbath, but Sabbath was made for the man. For man,
right?
Because you know, in that time, they was working them from before light to after dark, and they was working them that way 7 days a week. And so God said, you know, God wasn't pleased. Of course, God wasn't pleased with slavery, period. But God said, "You, my people, have to have a break." So that's where the Sabbath day came. You could work them 6, but on the 7th day they must rest. And so the people's promote the day more than promote people, but it was all about people. It wasn't about
there
the day.
Go. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think that we have to, you know, comprehend it. I'm under the belief that your Sabbath day don't have to be Saturday, because back in those days, there was no such thing as Saturday. So, you know, like, if your Sabbath day is Wednesday, that's your Sabbath day. That's your rest day. It's just the thing is that we have to have rest, you know, because the Bible tells us, come to you all who are burdened and heavy laden, and I give you rest, take my yoke, you know, upon you and learn of me, because my burden is easy. So I will give you rest. The Sabbath day is meant for rest. Sometimes we have to shut down, relax, be in a quiet space that we can hear God. And, you know, Jesus in Matthew 6, before the Our Father prayer, said, go into your prayer closet, your private prayer closet, where it's peaceful and quiet, and talk to God. So it's more about God's people, because we was God's prized creation. And I also like how you point out on the veil, when the veil was rent, and it was rent from the top to the bottom, meaning that man couldn't do it, God had to do it. And the veil represented separation between man and God, and the whole sacrifice of Christ was to reconnect man back to God. And so when the veil was rent, there was no more disconnection between God and man. And well, when I say man, I speak of humankind. I'm not speaking of a sex. So then also, I like how you pointed out about when you talked about that, and then when you talked about, and I thought this was very powerful because I always tell people the same thing. When you talked about before the veil was rent, God was with them. And this is very powerful, and we all have to get this. But after the veil was rent, God was in them. So when you show up, God showed up right now. You're not waiting for God. You don't have to pray for God to fall and refresh. No, God is in you. Because, you know, when we talk about we save, sanctify, fill with the Holy Ghost, meaning when you sealed, nothing can go in and nothing can come out because everything you need is in. And so the thing is, the manifestation of God is tapping into the source that's already in you. That's the gift that was given by the sacrifice of the Lamb. And so you pointed that out, my sister. Now, I say, I was so happy to hear you say that because that was some powerful word. But my prayer is that the brothers and sisters get what you were saying because you said some very heavy there. You know, because we are always taught, in particular by religion, that we disconnected from God and we're always seeking God. You know, but that's that, all that, when the veil was rent, that time was over. And so that was my interpretation, what you say, because that's how I view it. And so when you say that, you bless me, because I know it's true. But I understand the significance of what you said. So I'm going to stop there, sister. I'm going to stop there. I just wanted you to know that those things that you said some very powerful things today. But the thing is that we can't maximize our potential in God as God's on the planet. And when I say God's on the planet, because Jesus told him, what of my works do you wish to stone me for? And it said, not of your works, but for making yourself equal with God. And Jesus then said to them, but isn't it written in your law that you are God? So we have to understand, being in the image and likeness of God, we are the manifestation of God in the flesh. And so that's the most important, powerful lesson that we can get out of the things that you taught tonight, my sister. We have to get that we are the manifestation of God in the flesh. God is in us, not outside us. We don't need God to fall afresh upon us because there ain't no God better than the God that's in you already. And the sacrifice that has been made, thank you for the teaching. Thank you for your consistency, your dedication, and everything, sister. And I'm going to sign off that because I could go, you just touched my spirit, you touched my heart, and I could go on and on and on and on. But thank you, thank you, thank you, and God bless you.
And God bless you, my brother, and it's a pleasure. You just bless my soul. You know, you bless my soul because, you know, when you're always saying things, you don't know how the people perceive it. And that's why I was very clear in the beginning. If some people may not even ever heard of the veil, and I say there will be time after the lesson to get your questions figured out. The other thing, I hope that it perks everybody who doesn't know or understand to go and search. When we do a Bible study for 45, 50 minutes, we can't say it all, but we give you hopefully enough food for thought to go to look for yourself. And my brother, I thank you for giving me confirmation on what I decided to bring to people, that it was of value. When I ask for comments sometimes, you know, I could do a teacher lesson, what it is. I do 52 a week because it's every Wednesday and I very seldom miss. You know, how I know how the people receive it, how would I know, you know, unless you get feedback sometimes. Now, I'm not begging for people to press the one button, and I do not have a program. If I get a lot of buttons pressed, I get some money. I don't even get paid for doing the program. Matter of fact, I have to pay for the studio time. But it's all for God. And I thank you, brother, because you really have blessed my soul. Thank you so much. Call us. Your number is 504-715. Your mic is open.
I thank God for the caller that called in. When he opened his mouth, I said, oh, there he is. It's been a while since I heard his voice. But I just love the word of God. And I like the way Colossians says it. In that chapter 1, verse 27, it says, to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery amongst the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in us, the believers. And that's why he tells us it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And he goes on in that third chapter, in that 16th verse, it said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. We give him praise and glory because we have to realize it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And I had did a minister some years back when God revealed that to me. And I had let the believers know, when we do each other wrong or when we speak to each other wrong, remember, we speak into the Christ inside of that person, or we doing wrong to the Christ inside of that person. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you so much, Sister Maggie. And that's why I told my brother, it was such a pleasure to hear his voice. You know, we think about all of the people that calls in, and, you know, sometimes, you know, they schedule on live or whatever. But when we hear him, it's like rejoicing. And I rejoice when I heard your voice as well. And I thank you so much for the words that you said. It came to me as a cloud of encouragement. And I thank you so much for that. God has given us this forum, and from day one, for those who've been with me these 10, 11 years, I've always said it's not my Bible study, it's our Bible study. And, you know, we have a lot of time in the studio. You know, I usually stop right by the hour because I know, you know, people have things to do. But we got a lot of time that I have in the studio, so it's not like, you know, we got to stop it, you know, or something like that. And when we have conversations and bring our thoughts to the table, that's the fellowship. God gave us this forum. No big eyes, no little use. We come together on Wednesday, and everybody can have a voice. Everybody could ask a question. Everybody can give an input. So I just elated with the fellowship that went forth. And I thank God for you, my brother. I thank God for Minister Paula Cloud, who has just recovered from her stroke. And she had a stroke, and it was in her right side of her brain, and the left side was limp in the beginning, and is working now after only a few days because of G.O.D. I thank Sister Pam for the prayers that she lifts up, and I thank Minister Maggie for coming in and giving us those scriptures, telling us how we should act as brothers and sisters in Christ. That's the lesson for tonight. If anyone have anything else they need to say, you can press the 1 button on your phone. Caller, your number is 225-302. Your mic is open, and I think that's my child, Jada Porter.
It is. It is. But for the grace of God, I don't come on often because I'm an hour ahead, and most of the time I'm asleep by the time you actually start. But I'm so grateful that I was on tonight. I was up and I was on tonight. And I want to personally thank you because I know the Lord and I love the Lord, but there's so much that I have learned about his greatness and his grace and his mercy and his love from you, not just with your words, but with your example. And I'm telling the people that are on this line, this woman walks this talk. She's not just here to just share some words with you. She walks it. She walks it every day. And I am a living witness to that. I can testify to that. So I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for tonight's lesson because, of course, I know this lesson because I've studied this lesson being in the ministry. But more importantly, I thank you for it because sometimes I think we forget when we're walking in our walk that God is with us. For me, because I use my Jadaism, for me, I have to really concentrate on that, not when I wonder if he's forsaken me, but when I am forsaking him, when I want to go left or when I don't want to walk the right way or I'm tempted by something, I have to remember that he's in me and I don't want to disappoint him. I don't want to do anything to for him to not be pleased with. So I think it's important for us to know that. So thank you for bringing it to my remembrance that he's in me. So that it's a constant thing. He doesn't leave me no matter which way I go. He doesn't, you know, forsake me, though I might turn my back away from him. So just thank you. Thank you for that message. And just thank you for loving me.
And I always will. I always have and I always will. I love you, Jada Porter. And ain't nothing you could do about it.
I know. I'll see you next week.
You'll see me next week. This is good, y'all. This is fellowship, and I thank each and every one of you. Anyone else? I have anyone else? If not, we'll have our benediction. And Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Thank you, my sister, for that powerful, powerful message tonight. And I want to thank my brother for breaking down that Sabbath because I always thought the Sabbath day had to be a Saturday or a Sunday. And I thank you, my brother, for breaking that down for me tonight. Benediction tonight will be coming from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 through 21. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. And I often tell people, if you could add something to it or you have something, sometimes something that you can say the other person is what the other person is looking for. And that's a prime example when Sister Pam spoke about what our Brother Bernard had said. And Brother Bernard, I want you to know that we pray for you and we are always excited when you're with us. So that's what we all about. And it's just a good thing. I'm feeling mighty happy, y'all. I don't know about y'all. But I thank God for each and every one of you. And I thank God for Wednesday night. Glory, hallelujah. Jada, I'll see you next week. And I love you, my child. And if that's it for tonight, we'll be back next week. If God says the same. Same time, same station. God be with you until we meet again. And I pray that God bless each and every one of you real good. Until next week. Goodbye. Thank you.